Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, your favorite time of week. The next 60 minutes, we're going to do a show on the gut, your gastrointestinal tract, but from a perspective I'm sure you haven't yet fully embraced. So those of you fact finders that understand all about probiotics and gallbladder flushes and digestive enzymes and hydrochloric acid, well, that's going to be mentioned in the show, but that's not what the show is about. Today's show is about how you have to understand how, regardless of what symptom you suffer from, regardless of what disease you've been given, you've got to understand that there is a tradition in holistic medicine dating back to the beginning of time that says most disease begins in the gut. Now, you might nod your head and you might say, yes, of course, I understand that. We've read about that in all the nutrition magazines. But I can assure you, where the rubber meets the road, in the trenches, when you've been diagnosed with illness, that's where all this falls apart. And that's because you don't have a deep enough comprehensive perspective on what we mean by health begins in the gut. And that's the focus of today's show. I want you, over the next 60 minutes, take what most of you already have a sense of and entrench it within to the daily function of your life so that you can stand the test. What test is that? That test is the day you develop a symptom that nobody appears to be able to figure out. That's the day that you go to your third or fourth medical doctor with the best insurance money can buy, if that still exists, at the best universities in the United States, and they still do exist, and you pose your physician the question, what is wrong with me? And you get a big spiel that consists of 10 minutes to 2 hours about what's wrong, and nobody's talking about what's wrong. And that's the test you have to stand up to. You have to understand that when you have a symptom, when you have an illness, when you have a chronic disease, no one's really talking about cause, even though they're using the words all the time. And when you bring that to the attention of your physician, of your hospitalitarian, of the head of your clinic, cardiology, nephrology, oncology, when you bring to them your concern that you don't really feel you have an understanding, you have to stand the test. And that test is, neither do they. You, in the holistic community, are concerned about symptom control. You say, in fact, you're interested in causality. But too often it simply means, what herb do I take to help my symptom? Or what cleanse do I do to help my symptom in lieu of, rather than, what drug do you take or what surgery do you do? And although that's a good place to start, the bottom line is causality begins with a different perspective. And that's the purpose of this show that I know at least some of you are getting. I invite more of you in to a deeper understanding. Now, what does that mean in terms of the gut? When we say in the history of naturopathic medicine that health begins in the gut, Jensen used to have a maxim that 80% of all disease begins in the colon. You have to understand, as it relates to your concern to abate or resolve illness, disease, symptom, or just that you want radiant health, you want to live to 100 years old. However you look at this, You have to understand you need to have a checklist. A healthy gut checklist. Because there's too much going on down there for you to really pot shot at. So my most focal point here is that you have to think of you as the symbiosis of all the different concerns that you should have and be tracking in your digestive tube. Your digestive tube is a power plant. It's a powerhouse. I'm going to harp on this. You're not going to just nod your head. You're going to nod your head when you can take that concern all the way to your disease and relax behind it. If you've got cancer, if you've got heart disease, if you've got autoimmune disease, your concern should not be on your symptomology. If you have back pain, neck pain, if you have ulcerative colitis, if you have depression, if you have schizophrenia, your concern should not be the symptom or the specific resolution to the disease. Your concern should, and this is my point, get down into your digestive tube and start straightening out and taking account. And understand how to turn your gut into a powerhouse. Okay, there's your opener. Now, how you do that isn't about, oh yeah, yeah, my name's Harry, I do colon cleanses. I've done a few gallbladder flushes, I take my probiotics, I poop a couple of times a day, I've done a parasite cleanse, I take my digestive enzymes, I understand the importance of HCL. Wrong. This is not what I'm talking about. That's what you do. You understand the notes of the musical composition, but you don't really hear the music. And that's the point. There is a synchronicity, and you'll see what I mean by the end of the show today. Now, first, you've got to have a deeper understanding. And it begins with basics, and we skip basics. So, let's get some basics down here, and then we'll get to the really interesting stuff. In your healthy gut checklist, scanning it in the interest of helping your symptomology, your disease, your depression, whatever you've got, your quest for radiant health, you want to live forever. Picture number one. Go to picture number one. If you're new to the show, put your seatbelt on. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. That's Straight Talk with two T's. Go to the website, get on today's, what is this, show 2 what, 220? Could that be? 221 shows over 4 years. The show has prospered across the globe for 4 years and continues to grow. Why? Because I think I've got a better plan. And that better plan is get educated and forget symptom control with herbs. Use herbs to upgrade physiological systems and let the upgrade of the system fix the problem. You get it? All right. Picture number one. You're looking at a section there. That's really an important junction point in your digestive tube. That's the place in your small intestine, in the beginning of it, where the pancreas meets the gallbladder. Take a look at that place. Because when the food gets there, if that bile coming out of the gallbladder to emulsify fats, to augment the pHs of the intestinal tract. Very important statement there. Bile is a fluid that helps control the pHs of the intestinal tract. If it even flows, and if it doesn't flow, check that on the checklist or put the X there or get to work on it. Hear my other shows on those flushes. Flushes are no news to you, but you've got to have biliary patency. I'll say nothing more. My listeners know what that means, and if you don't, hit the website, hit my shows for an understanding. the pancreas. Digestive enzymes coming out of that pancreas. Amylase, lipase, protease, fat, protein, carbohydrate digestion. You need tons of flow. And, of course, hydrochloric acid from the stomach. The food, whether it's healthy food or Taco Bell, that you put into your stomach, whether it's at 7 a.m. or 11 p.m., needs hydrochloric acid, pancreatic enzymes, and bile. Look at your checklist and ask yourself, is my bile flowing? What is my HCl outflow like? And that's another story. But you have to circulate that through your headset. Check out my other shows on digestion. You could do a whole show on HCl. And are you producing ample amounts of pancreatic fluid? The claim goes that as you age, you make less. Yes, that's true. The parietal cells in your stomach that produce hydrochloric acid begin to burn out. The pancreas, based upon, well, the original oomph that it had when you were born, your constitutional digestive power, relative to how much you've burned out your pancreas eating sawdust instead of food for a lifestyle. The more Taco Bell you ate, the more muck you consumed, the more likely you are at 60 or 70 years old to be out of pancreatic juice. The Vedics say no more Agni, digestive fire. And anyone under stress, and anyone eating the rancid fats in childhood or whenever that we've all consumed over periods of time, better have a good 20, 30, 40 olive oil flushes under their belt. So the flow of those three juices has to be weighed against the inherent digestibility of the food you put in your stomach. And that's where the game begins. Now, the choice of food that you put in your stomach, cooked food, raw food, fibrous food, non-fibrous food, toxic fats, raw fats, other shows not going there. I want you to get the big global perspective here so you can understand then rapidly how you have to see your gut system. The ecosystem of digestion is what you have to factor in when you're trying to figure out why you have neck pain and joint pain and autoimmune disease and cancer and heart disease and anything you're concerned about. The shift is not, yes, I did a gallbladder flush. The shift is, my name is Joe. I have a health concern, and I want to get a sense of, does the ecosystem of my digestive tube, is it on the right side of the fence? Is it a powerhouse? Or is it a deficient, dying factory? Okay, you got it. Now hold that. All right, so your three digestive enzymes, your three digestive juices, trying to digest ostensibly digestible food. By the way, out of state is a little, I'll throw you some quips this show. Interesting week for me. Out of state, talking to a guy driving a bus. Turns out he's 78 years old. He's a third generation Lutheran pastor just doing some part-time work driving a bus. I'm going in between airports. And he tells me, as we're passing through the cornfields of Minnesota, he tells me, you know, I'm into health food. And he says, and this comes out of nowhere. I'm not talking to this guy. I'm just on the bus. And he says, you know, you see all these cornfields? Well, these are all GMO'd cornfields. And the number of bushels of corn that they can put out since they've GMO'd has gone up astronomically. It's a boon to the farmer. But he says to me, here's the thing. Okay, now this is an unsolicited, the guy didn't know who I was. This is an unsolicited little conversation here. He says to me, but you know what? If you take that GMO'd corn and you put it next to regular corn and you feed your animals, they will pick the non-GMO'd corn every time. Every time. He just says that. Now, you know that's God talking. Listen to that. And this is my point. You've heard me make this on this show so many times. It's right in front of our face. all the money, the time, the energy, the debate, the this, the that, the other thing about is GMO food a health concern? Is it different? Should we be alarmed? Look at your animals. There it is. That's all you need to know. You don't have to have a third grade education to know something's cockeyed when your animals won't eat the GMO'd corn. There's more science in that statement than there is in all the halls of Sloan Kettering. Because the majority of your geneticists will side with the GMO and say it's no different. Little side note, but these things are so big, and it gets back to the point I'm always going to make to you. When you're sick, when you're symptomatic, when you're in a disease state, when you are in a quest for radiant health, you have to talk to your soul and not be seduced and marginalized and debased into thinking that when you're listening to your soul, you're doing something non-scientific. This myopia has to die. This is killing the United States. It is killing Western man. That we, in our arrogance, Sloan Kettering, Cedar Sinai, UC Scripps, UCLA, sit there in our ivory towers and tell people to disregard messages and signals from the body in the name of higher science. And you buckle. So I remind you of this consistently because consistently you buckle. Don't. All right. Now, let's understand this. Let's understand that whether or not you actually produce these fluids, bile, HCL, pancreatic enzyme, in part is how burnt out they are, how cleansed out they are, biliary system. But it also has to do with something we call the enteric nervous system. 80% of all disease begins in the gut. Great, we agree. Of that disease that begins in the gut, there's something called the enteric nervous system. Put that on your checklist. Because picture number four, actually, I've got a better one. Go on down to picture number 13. Picture number 13, the brain in your gut. You've seen this one before. The layers of connective tissue, the layers of muscular tissue in the 35 feet of small intestine, 5 or 6 feet of large intestine, are invested with that yellow stuff, nerve plexuses. Those nerve plexuses are connected to your brain through the spinal cord. Those nerve plexuses are connected to your brain via what we call the chakras. This electrical system is mediated through a special nerve called the vagus nerve. Go to picture number 15. Picture 15. Activity controlled by the parasympathetic nervous system. The vagus nerve stimulation increases motility, meaning peristalsis. If your food doesn't move through your digestive tube, you're in trouble. If it moves too fast, you're in trouble. The autonomic balances within that tube need to be balanced. And in addition, that vagus nerve controls the secretory rates of the gastric glands, meaning HCL, meaning bile, meaning amylase, protease, lipase from your pancreas, meaning those same enzymes from the epithelial brush border cells of the small intestine. Meaning that vagus nerve is a big part of your symptom, whether you have brain cancer or whether you have arthritis. You understand the leap here I'm asking you to take and make, and that leap has to embrace you to the point where you can relax behind your symptom. The purpose of these shows, the purpose of my time here, is to relax you on the razor's edge. When you're sick, you're walking the plank. When you're sick, you're at the edge of a board with a blindfold. And when you peek out from the blindfold and you look down into the ocean, you see sharks. That's what it's like being sick, chronically ill. And I'm asking you, through understanding, to relax behind your symptom and your illness through understanding, not blind faith. Now, that is scientific. So this vagus nerve, take a look at another angle on the vagus nerve. Picture number 12. Picture number 12, role of the vagus nerve. Look at the picture, picture 12. Look at the little diagram on the right on picture 12. 20% of vagus nerve fibers send instructions from the brain. Because 80% of the vagus nerve fibers are sending messages to the brain. The vagus nerve is your enteric nervous system. It is the detective team that's down there scanning your intestinal tract and sending messages up to the brain. So the brain can send messages down via the same vagus nerve, the efferent fibers, into the intestinal tract to tell it, more than anything, to relax. You want to shut down your vagus nerve, you want to shut down all its functions, just go sympathetic dominant. Just fail to understand, to live each and every day in a state of deep relaxation. If you cannot stay relaxed, and people say all the time, I am relaxed, I don't feel anxiety. Check yourself. Check yourself, because most people that say that have no clue. They've been holding anxiety in their body so long. They've been holding tension so long. They've been holding on to their negativity so long. They're so racked and dense with tension, they're numb. I just want you to consider that respectfully. It's not that you don't have anxiety. It's not that you don't feel tension. It's that you're numb, so you don't feel tension. Which is to say, if your body has not gotten through ritual, you can call it prayer, you can call it yoga, you can call it getting flexible, you can call it having a lover, you can call it anything you want to call it, but if your body does not know how consistently to get itself into a state of deep, prolific relaxation, something no less that we could measure physiologically, if you don't really have discourse with that concept, and check my shows if you don't, then your autonomics are imbalanced, then that vagus nerve doesn't work. What do you think? I pose this to you. The number two reason Americans stay home from work each and every day in the United States of America is called IBS. That's right. The number one reason presently is the flu, and the number two reason is bowel problems. And I don't mean constipation. I mean irritable bowel syndrome. Medically diagnosed syndromes that are chronic, that can go all the way to colostomy bags et al., is the number two reason why Americans. And do you think it's the food? Do you think it's the antibiotics? Do you think it's this? I will tell you right now, I have never seen someone in deep chronic digestive discord that had not forgotten how to relax. I know, Medici. I know I gotta relax. I'm telling you, you don't. You don't know. And if it sounds like I'm yelling at you, I'm yelling at you. I'm yelling at you because you're kidding yourself. I sit here and have sat here for 23 years now watching people fail because they can't chill. And you really got to take yourself into account for this. More than anything, what we call digestive discordance, more than anything, what we call digestive issue and all the diseases and symptoms that result from it, is because the autonomic nervous system has been imbalanced to the point where you can't create your gastric secretions. In sympathetic dominance, you don't make HCL. In sympathetic dominance, your biliary system constricts and you don't get bile flow. In sympathetic dominance, you do not produce pancreatic enzymes or bicarbonate ions in the small intestine. In sympathetic dominance, you either get too much peristalsis or not enough peristalsis. You can't control your electrolyte fluids. Okay. I humbly submit. Let's keep going. Okay? Picture number 9. There's that lumen inside the stomach. There's your parietal cell. That produces the HCl. That inside to the stomach. Picture 11. Look at the inside of your stomach. The fundus up top near the esophagus, all the way down to the pyloric valve. And that inner lining of the stomach. That's where those parietal cells are. That's where those mucus cells are. You know, when you're ulcerous and they turn off your HCl production, what they ought to understand is that it's not the HCl that gives you the ulcer. It's two things. Number one, the acids from incomplete digestion, but more than that, your mucus cells shut off under stress. That which the body uses to buffer the very, very low pH, the high acidity of the digestive tube, in the stomach that is, that prevents, that would otherwise cause a hole in your stomach because that hydrochloric acid is so powerful, it's buffered by what? Mucus. Secreted by mucus cells. When you're under stress, you don't make mucus. That's what your ulcers are, all the way into the duodenum. Okay. There's a few basics of digestion. How's your checklist looking? Now, let's get another angle on this. Go to the top of the page. Go to the Geneva Diagnostics gut scan. No, don't do that. Go to the top of the page. Click to view full article on microbiome research. Microbiome research. Go to the top of the page. Gut reaction. Okay? Brought this story to you. In the gleaming new laboratories, again, just to make sure everybody's with me, go to the top of the pictures, look at those four articles, click to view the full article on microbiome research. Okay, now, we're just changing speeds, we're not changing topics. Gut reaction, to discover the evolution of bacterial resonance. A new field of research delves into the unexpected corners of our fossil record. This is exciting stuff, man. If you want to get excited about this. In the gleaming new laboratories of molecular anthropology and microbiome research, opened in 2014 out in Oklahoma. Blah, 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 blah. Microbiome research, what is that? That is a new and budding science that's been around from Genesis in the Old Testament, by the way. But you know, this is like Western science. And by the time they find out about it, it's been around for 15 or 20,000 years, or however long you think it goes back. But to them, it's new. Because now they're taking the time to measure it. May not change a lot, but it has changed a lot. Because it changes your perception of you. Microbiome research is telling you that you are in symbiosis with more bacteria in your intestinal tract than you have cells in your body. It's telling you something that's startling, that you, as you know you, is more about the bacteria in your gut than you. It's almost impossible to distinguish between you and your bacteria. You really got to take that in. Okay, I'll give it to you straight. When that guy down the street picked up a butcher knife and chased someone down the street, it wasn't him that was doing it. It was the bacterial imbalance in his gut. When you went schizophrenic and had that episode or manic depressive, it wasn't you. It wasn't what you thought it was. It was that bacterial imbalance in your gut. This is where we're going with this stuff. Except now we're quantifying it in a vernacular we understand. It's been out in the literature for hundreds of years, and it's been practiced because there was a consciousness understanding this long before science had microscopes that attended to this in more prolific ways than we're tending to it today. So much for the new science. But nonetheless, in common everyday talk, this is a new science. Microbiome research. Let's keep going. I'm just scrolling down the first page. You're doing that with me. Collectively known as the microbiome. First page, left side, three paragraphs down. Collectively known as the microbiome and located primarily in the large intestine, these cohabitants outnumber the human host cells 10 to 1. You got a 10 to 1 ratio there. Now that first page, just go to the middle column, the one that's in large print. We're now learning about the evolution of the 90% of us that isn't us. We're now learning about the evolution of the 90% of us that, well, isn't us. What does that mean? It means you got really angry at your wife today, or your wife really got angry at you. And it really wasn't them that got angry. It means that tumor you grew in your brain, or that heart attack you had, or that stroke, or that autoimmune disease, really isn't anything more, or really had a massive contribution by the value here of the microbiology of your gut. That's what it means. Moving right along to the next page. Top of the next page. African populations as well. If you look at the big jumps in the different microbiomes meaning the populations of bacteria that live in your small and especially your large intestine. That's what we mean by microbiomes. And the anthropology, the archaeology, the medical archaeology is telling us the big jump did not occur. This is interesting. From hunter-gatherer to agriculturist. Paleo guys out there. Got to factor that one in. The big jump really didn't occur. The decimation and destruction of your microbiome really didn't occur when we jumped into agriculture from hunter-gatherer. It occurred, and it's going to tell you, it's between both of them and the industrialized techno-society. You want to understand disease? You want to do something about your symptomology? Take in every word over this hour. Go back and study this show. And then branch out. Take every link on my site and study. And begin to create relationship, a comprehensive, intimate, detailed, experimental relationship with your intestinal tract. That is what we should be doing. Not saying, I took the probiotic, I go to the bathroom, I did my liver flush. And don't get me wrong, these are good things to do. But what we're not doing is creating relationship. It's like a neighbor. I know my neighbor, and if they put his mail on my doorstep, I take the mail and put it on his doorstep. Over the holidays, I'll say hello occasionally. If he has a flat tire, I won't run him over. I'll stop and help him fix the flat. And that's what I do for my neighbor. I don't really want to know him, but there's a social code, and I might need him. And since I might need him, I got to do the right thing. Especially in LA, that's the way we live. And that is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about relationship, a relationship with your neighbor. That neighbor being the ecosystem of your gut. And that relationship occurs through experimentation. You have to push the limits. You have to find out what your gut likes. You have to experience viscerally the things you need to do to help yourself. You just don't work blindly. Yeah, pop those three probiotics in. Here they're really good stuff. Sure, I'm okay. That's exactly what will betray you. Okay, here's a big concept. Hunter-gatherer, you know, kill the boar and eat it. Pick some blueberries with that bush or the lake from your canoe. raid a beehive and eat the honey? Hunter-gatherer, good. But it didn't really change the intestinal content when we started planting seed. That DNA stuff is fantastic. Western science is making a huge contribution. But you got to know how to surf with it. You got to know how to navigate it. What you could get and should get from science is really not at Cedar Sinai. What you get is really in the medical journals that collect dust. Like this article, we'll collect dust.
All right, so these articles may collect dust. The point is that you should not be collecting dust. All right, let's get back to the think tank now. Article well taken. Check this article out. Just as interesting in its own way. Coli vaccine. Again, you're at the top of the website. Coli vaccine. Bacteria kills cancer. Now, what am I laying down the roots to? I'm laying down the roots to understanding that the future of health is very evolved. It's very revolved around understanding that the microbes we already have, or perhaps microbes that we can have injected into us, will attack the microbes that are causing disease. Look at the Coli vaccine. Just click that, go to the article I selected for you. Immune system hackers. Scientists are starting to reprogram infectious bacteria to kill cancer cells. Check this one out. Infectious bacteria to kill cancer cells. In the late 1800s, Dr. William Coli, a cancer researcher at New York Cancer Hospital, noticed something peculiar. Fred Stein had a tumor. Until he became infected by Streptococcus pyogenes, something that causes just a simple strep throat. Shortly after his infection, the cancer began disappearing, as though the fever had burned it away. After Coli observed that other cancer patients who had recently undergone tumor removal surgery were more likely to recover if they developed a post-cervical infection. Now, this is at the turn of the last century. And this doctor then went on to injecting people with lethal bacteria. Bacteria that sometimes killed the terminal cancer patient. Now look at that on the second page now. Big, large print, second page on the right-hand side. Coli injected over 1,000 patients with the Coli toxin, and many recovered. We've seen this for countless number of years in the history of mankind, that unsuspected infections end up curing other diseases. And this is where modern science is going to take our understanding. The Coli vaccine being in recent times one of the fine examples of this. Of course, this was buried back then. Coli's vaccine fell into disrepute, and that was the end of him. His daughter spent the rest of her life trying to bring her father's work, that father-daughter thing. You saw that with the Gerson, Charlotte Gerson, and her dad, Max Gerson. But she failed, of course, also. Now listen to this. On this same article, first page, at the bottom, in 2014, the FDA approved an immunotherapy drug known as anti-PD-1 for melanoma, the most serious type of skin cancer. Soon after, the anti-PD-1 became the standard of care for melanoma. I have not given a patient, okay, chemotherapy to a person with melanoma for the past 2 years, says Dr. Antonio Ribas, a medical oncologist at UCLA. These days of chemotherapy for these diseases are over. Look at that. I don't know about you, this is the kind of thing that excites me no end. Once again, we have a system used formally, simple. A system intact, using bacteria to kill other bacteria. And in the literature, examples of dramatic cures for otherwise terminal diseases. And now it's all the way open 2014. You have to understand what it means to hold the competitive edge. Coli had the competitive edge. This is not the competitive edge. It's 2014. 2014. This has been around since 1900. So you have to think of yourself then as a pioneer. Because the literature's there. It's telling us that the body knows how to use bacteria to go after pathogenic bacteria. So what do you think the probiotics are? And this is the point. This is the point. And whether or not, and here's the other point, whether or not we're going to be able to take the probiotics, the good bacteria in your large intestine, and grow them, and inject them into the body at higher dosages, or put them in the body at higher dosages, and expect to see specific diseases go away, is not the point. The point is that if you're trying to understand your organ, your disease, your symptom, that you have to understand that these bacteria constitute a critical part of your arsenal towards health. Thus, relationship that you have to develop. Not that you take a couple of capsules of probiotic bacteria. That you understand that the probiotics, as well as the prebiotics, which is something I'm going to introduce in a moment, that both probiotic and prebiotic bacteria are there to control pathogen, are there to produce many chemicals, some we know, many we don't know, that control mechanisms that we can study for the next 1,000 years and still may never have a handle on. So what does this mean for you functionally then? Functionally sitting there with your concern. It means that the more you understand about the dynamics of your gut, the more you can begin to apply through trial and error a contoured journey ending in a better ecosystem, a better powerhouse for you. And that's where cure is. Go to the top of the page, click to view the full article on Geneva Diagnostics Gut Scan. Go to the Geneva Diagnostics Gut Scan. Now, anybody can get on a website and go to Geneva Diagnostics. And if you have any issue ordering these tests, certainly your naturopath, your chiropractor, your acupuncturist, whoever your local health care provider is, including hopefully your medical doctor, can go and have these tests run. Now, Geneva Diagnostics gives you a GI effects stool profile. So you just click that link on that I put on the top there. It's a comprehensive stool profile, and it's the stool test of choice for optimizing clinical value in managing gut health. Insight into gut flora by identifying 24 commensal bacteria using PCR technology, meaning they're not looking to grow the bacteria to tell you you've got it and in how much. They're looking at their genetic fragments in your stool, which is a more precise way, and then getting a sense of all these bacteria that have all these different functions, most unknown, all critical, so that you can start to develop a relationship, and here's my point, with your gut profile. Now, don't forget about the bile and the pancreatic enzyme and your autonomic nervous system and your HCL and peristalsis and colon cleanses and so on and so forth. Don't forget about that. But now we're getting into what really we're going to introduce as another paradigm in medical history. And that is understanding with greater specificity what these bacteria do. So, you're interested. Get a profile. Get a profile done. Why? Because it's going to tell you what you're deficient in. And after you find out you're deficient in bifidobacterium, you're going to take bifido out of somebody's supplement and you're going to see your disease go away. Do not do that to yourself. This is not what I'm talking about. Don't reduce what I'm saying. Don't marginalize what I'm saying. Because this is an incorrect way to use this diagnostic test. And you're going to come up short, and you're going to feel betrayed, and you're going to feel like you wasted your money. The way you use this is another clue in creating a profile to tell you just what kind of powerhouse you've got. Where it's deficient, you build it up. After you build it up, you look for more deficiency or imbalance, and you work your gut flora in conjunction with everything else, so that the totality of your intestinal system starts to yield you benefits in places you can't imagine. And if somewhere along the way your tumor goes away, or your IBS goes away, or your depression goes away, you know one of the areas that made a significant contribution. Now, can you get that? I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. Get to my website, straighttalk.cc. If you're lost and spinning around in the world of, well, health chaos, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. All right, let's move right along. Hope you're getting this. There we are, Geneva Diagnostics. Now, look at this one. Fecal implantations, picture number 16. Picture number 16, get the book. Really, go out and get the book. Poop Power, Michael Hurst. How a man used fecal transplants at home to permanently cure himself of ulcerative colitis. You see? Crazy, huh? Crazy. How about people that eat feces? I've known people to cure depression that eat high meat, which is worse than eating feces. I know people that will use the bacteria in buffalo feces in an attempt to go after their cancer. This is absurd to you. This is absurd in medicine, and yet we're doing fecal implants now all over the United States. Why? Because the results have been absolutely dramatic. Here's a guy that did it at home, and here's a book about it. Now go to picture number 17. Picture number 17. Effectiveness of fecal transplantation. Effectiveness of fecal transplantation. Treatment for chronic relapsing C. difficile. Study. 77 patients in 5 centers. Medscape. Cure rates 91 to 98%. This was in Discover magazine a couple of years ago. This is all over the place. You've got doctors in major hospitals doing this now. Again, what does that mean? This is part of microbiome study. This is part of us understanding that we need to come up with better ways, new ways, to go in there and reconstitute the flora. It's a lot more than a probiotic. It's a lot more than a cup of yogurt in the morning. When you're in the tubes with a bad disease, you have to get drastic. And you have to be willing to embrace that bumpy road. But people are doing it. And the beauty of it is, it's just about upregulating systems that are already working in your body. And this is the thing. This is the distinction between cure or improvement of health using already intact divine systems versus synthetic systems that are exogenously derived and then injected or administered to the body in some way, shape, or form. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to put your taxpayer money, that it's wrong to put your interest in synthetics. But don't overlook these divine systems that are already operating in the body, because you can create an embellishment. You can create an advancement for these systems. And fecal transplantation is one fine example. The other one is the probiot enemas. Using enemas. The problem with the probiots is they don't last through the GI tract. The HCL kills them. So if you turn to picture 18, go to picture 18. Again, you're on the website, straighttalk.cc. Go to picture number 18, Premier Biotic Caps. Premier Research Labs puts these things encoded. They're in coatings, and those coatings prevent breakdown of these very, very aggressive, well-bred bacterias. These good probiotic bacteria, strong, virile, ready to go to town, ready to just suction up to the large intestine, small intestine wall. But these are put in coatings, because then it'll protect itself against these are not centrifuged. These are grown on other forms of bacteria. Look at the back. Here's something you should use as a sort of a base, sort of like a hallmark. to sort of rate your probiotic, because Premier Research Labs puts out a wonderful product here. Fermented cultures of fruits, vegetables, mushrooms, seaweeds containing prebiotics. Those are the foods that are going to feed the probiotics. And when you talk probiotic bacteria, when you talk about bifidobacterium, when you talk about enterococcus, when you talk about lactobacillus, including Brevis, acidophilus, bulgaricus, when you talk about caseae, when you talk about Helveticus, when you talk about Thermophilus, first of all, you have to ask yourself, by the time they get where they're supposed to go, have they already been hacked up and destroyed? If they even get there. But then you have to talk about what feeds these things. And what feeds your good bacteria are called your prebiotics. And your prebiotics include different types of foods. This encapsulation here from PRL is taking a shot at that. Now, that's by no means comprehensive. But the point is that your body ingests fiber in the form of, say, leafy greens, which are more insoluble, but then it'll also take in soluble-type fibers, more like potato, more like Jerusalem artichoke. And these different types of fibers are going to feed the probiotic bacteria. So your diet then, not just what's in a capsule, your diet then becomes a concern as to whether or not your diet has successfully fed our prebiotics. Now, the prebiotics, some say, are at least as important, if not more important, than the probiotics. Because when you eat Jerusalem artichoke, when you have a plantain, when you eat a resistant starch, as they call it, like sushi rice, when you eat a parsnip, when you eat a sweet potato, when you do all your leafy greens, there's no issue about whether these things are going to be useful by the time they get to where the probiotics are. When you're ingesting capsules of probiotic bacteria, in transit things get hurt. And that's assuming that the probiot is built strong to begin with. And of course, there's much controversy about that. I can tell you I would trust Premier Research Labs as a source. But the point is, the prebiot is going to grow what's there. Don't leave out the prebiot. There is as much satisfaction and benefit, and I'm talking clinically speaking, watching people begin to bring in more of the soluble, insoluble fibers and resistant starches to create a prebiotic conditioning of the probiotics that are already there. Next week, most likely, I'll do another show and really get into probiotic bacteria, specific to the probiotics, specific to the prebiotics. Again, you know, and thus the point of the show, that this is a consideration that has to be understood in the context of the fuller picture. For instance, if you're not defecating two or three times a day, very difficult to seed your intestines. If that were not the case, we would be seeing remarkable turnarounds from people ingesting probiotic bacteria from decent sources all the time. And we don't. We don't. Where you see solution is when people go at it from many angles, all focused in the same intention. Case in point, to improve the ecosystem of the gut, you have to be defecating. To be defecating, you need your water. You need your salt. You need your oils. You need your adrenaline, which means you have to sleep. You need your magnesium. If that psoas is crushing the intestinal tract, that needs to be resolved. This is why I put Nolly on the show all the time. Nolly goes on the show, that yogic isolation all the time, because there's no such thing as constipation when you can do something like Nolly. And if you're too congested and you're too constipated and your pathogenic bacteria have overrun your probiotics, and you're getting sicker and sicker in ways that can't be diagnosed, popping a couple of probiotic capsules aren't going to do a lot. You have to clean it out. And if the issue or the congestion is structural, then you have to tend to it. So you see how this layers itself out? And yes, sometimes you need supervision. And sometimes you don't need supervision. And if you're really gusto on it, learn it yourself. At least learn enough of it so you can be a smart consumer. I want you to be a smart, holistic consumer. This is not just about telling medical doctors that they're on the wrong track when they want to give you a colostomy because you have a suppurative colitis. This is about telling your nutritionist that just time spent working for the right supplement is going to have a limitation. And the only way you can do either is to become a smart consumer. Thus the purpose of the show. If you're new to the show, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health, straighttalk.cc. If you're lost, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. A little on the probiotics, a little on the prebiotics, a little on how hunter-gatherer and original agrarian had a wide diversity of these things, not your metrosexual techno-master. Your computer-produced corporate clone. Because that's kind of what's going on. I mean, we got to call it for what it is. You sit behind a desk on a computer and you push papers around all day, and you don't like it. And you eat unfertilized, mineral-deficient foods, and you're lucky if you were breastfed. And then we wonder where chronic disease is going and why. And it's right there. Learn what ancient agrarians understood. Learn what the hunter-gatherers understood. Just that alone. Let's get to some of the colon cleanses. Let's take a look at a colon cleanse. Now, why with all the talk now about probiotics and prebiotics, would we have to mention colon cleanses? Well, to answer that, to address that, go to picture number 27. Picture number 27. That's the inside of the large intestine. Now, the inside of the large intestine is where the good bacteria, the bad bacteria, the parasites, it's where everything hangs out. It's part of the ecosystem. Of course, you've got another 35 feet of small intestine. But the large intestine is a big, important place. And if you want the power plant to really work the way it's supposed to, if you're talking prebiot and probiot, but you haven't cleaned the grease, the slime, out of your intestinal tract, you're going to have a very difficult time implanting. There's something about reconditioning that ecosystem and cleaning the colon that goes hand in hand. They're not the same thing. But they're organized. You are obliged to understand them as complementary mechanisms. So, strolling along, if you look here at picture number 23, Cleanse and Purify Thyself, Richard Anderson. Get that book. Do that cleanse. If that's not your taste, Dr. Schultz's 5-day bowel detox. That detox can go 12 or 14 days. Look up Schultz. Look at picture 25. That's Bernard Jensen's Tissue Cleansing Through Bowel Management. Bernard Jensen. Any of those will do. Don't get stuck with the towels. Put the fiber in, put the water in, fast a little bit, take some of the psylliums to scrape the inner lining, and lo and behold, we'll go to picture 26. Picture 26, you're going to get tons of that out. Look at that fecal sample on picture 26. That's what you get when you do the Schultz cleanse, the Anderson cleanse, the Jensen cleanse. And why should you do it? Why should you not just simply accept the probiotics and the prebiotics? Go get some Jerusalem artichoke and go put some of Premier Research Labs probiotic caps in your body. See, this is where the understanding comes in. Why not just do that? Why do you have to hack up a week or two doing a bowel cleanse? Because the mucus on the inside lining of your tract, once it becomes stagnant, meaning once it becomes too thick, too viscous, you will fail to create a space for these probiotics to attach to the gut wall. Colon cleanses are conditioners for the implantation of probiotics, and prebiotic food is food for the probiotics that you implant. Now you see how it works together? And if your autonomics aren't balanced, forget the process. And if the pHs aren't right, remember the pH of the large intestine is acidic. Yes, it's acidic. It's not alkaline. It's supposed to be acidic. The small intestine up in the high areas is alkaline from the bicarbonate ion from the pancreas, and then acidic again in the stomach. And if your ecosystems aren't right, if your nerve flow, vagal flow, is not correct into these spaces, then your pHs are going to be all backwards, and you're not going to succeed. You have to integrate. You have to have a checklist. You can't just do hopscotch. You can't just pot shot. You got to have a fun relationship with your neighbor. And those neighbors are hundreds and trillions of good bacteria. I rest my case. I hope that excites you as much as it does me. If you're looking at that picture, again, that was picture 26. That is not what you keep in your intestines that the cleanse got out. Don't believe that one. People get 20 pounds of that out in a colon cleanse, Anderson, Schultz, Jensen, and they say, wow, all that stuff was in there. It's a good thing I did that cleanse because it would have still been in there, maybe even 100 pounds of it. This is nonsense. This is nonsense. These cleanses are vital to do. But don't be misled to think that if you don't do them, you're putting 20 to 30 to 100 pounds in your intestines. What you're looking at there is feces in a lot of mucus that was produced by the scraping of the bowel wall, okra, psyllium husk, so on and so forth. Scraping of the bowel wall in conjunction with a bloating out of the fecal contents due to the cleanse into the inner lining of the intestine, meaning you produce these large stools that balloon out and get imprinted by the inside of the bowel wall, thus these funny configurations. And these are great things to do, but when you look at them in their entirety, don't ever think that that's what was living in there, and it's good that you got it out, or it would just increase in size, and by the time you're 70, you're holding 100 pounds of this stuff. It just isn't good science. Now the clays, calcium bentonite and different types of clays, big agents, big pieces and parts of what's supposed to give you your competitive edge in that powerhouse we call the intestinal tract. Go to picture number 20. Picture number 20. Great product out of Premier Research Labs, MediClay FX, calcium bentonite clay. Don't do your cleanses. Don't develop a relationship with your intestines without a good bentonite clay. Why? Because bentonite clay, and I'd suggest you do it away from food, has a very unique way of binding what you don't want to recirculate back into your blood. You don't want to recirculate this back into your blood. And everything that's on its way out of the blood, into the liver, into the gallbladder, down the intestinal tract, a percentage recirculates back into your blood. You've got to bind it up there in the large intestine before it recirculates back into your blood. Thus, calcium bentonite. Now, if you can combine a good poop powder, again, you got to be careful with this one, but Schultz, intestinal formula number one, start. I caution you, start very sparingly with this. But if you need to go a little more, if you want to get that second and third one in, play with the intestinal formula number one. Peristalsis, moving the feces out with rapidity, is a big part of a healthy ecosystem. If you can't move it, you're in trouble. So you got to make relationship with the poop powders that work for you, and you got to do that through trial and error. For some, Schultz won't work, whether you're using psyllium, whether you're using prebiotics, whether you're using Cascata Sagrada, Senna, they all have pros and cons, and the specifics of which are specific to the person. Very delicate intestinal tracts, ones that are ulcerated, may not do so well as Schultz's. Big, greasy people, people that are overweight, people that have pretty robust constitutions, people that just get plugged up and gooed up, they tend to do marvelously with Schultz. Again, if you're new to the show, rather if you're new to the game of health, you start conservatively. That's just common sense. Hurt yourself with herbs, you can hurt yourself with a screwdriver. You can hurt yourself watering your garden. And you can hurt yourself with herbs. So all people are cautioned to use discretion. Come into the herbal formulas gradually. But don't write them off until you've hit maximum dose. Again, it takes some knowledge. The knowledge is here. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, if you're new to the show. 714-850-1007 if you need the upgrade into deeper, more comprehensive understandings of why you suffer. Schultz number one, Schultz number two, that's another bentonite clay. They're both given to you in wonderful concoctions. And whether it's Anderson or Schultz or Premier Research Labs or Bernard Jensen, this is an aspect to be combined with the prebiotics and the probiotics. This is an aspect to be combined with bile flow, with hydrochloric acid, with strength of the pancreas. This is an aspect to be combined with the digestibility of the foods that you put down there. This is an aspect of what's to be combined with the patency, the harmony of your autonomic vagal outflow, without which all of this flushes down the toilet. We're talking about a symphony. We're talking about a relationship with a neighbor. We're talking about finding the divine within your God-given systems and embellishing and intensifying and potentiating to take you through that long, dark journey we call a healing into that light, glorious, radiant health. If that doesn't excite you, well, I have to accept my limitations. Next week, I think we're going to get more into the probiotics specifically. We'll see. I never know. 714-850-1007. Outside of that, you guys have a great week. God bless you.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.